Good afternoon, good evening, good morning, global tribe of disruptors. The disruption is back. Coach Nick and the dudes of disruption, disrupting your automatic way of being, your automatic way of thinking and doing. Today's show is episode 123. Everyone is welcome. That's the name of our show. Everyone is welcome. You can catch all 122 of the previous Dudes of Disruption podcast episodes on iTunes and on Podomatic. You are listening to Coach Nick and the Dudes of Disruption. I'm Coach Nick, author, speaker, facilitator around transformational and leadership topics, and a committed disruptor. Why we're here is to inspire people to live life purposefully from an awakened place so that everyone gets to leave their mark and transform the world. I deliver transformation and disruption in the areas of leadership development, corporate culture and engagement, team dynamics and development, and personal development. One of my favorite things that I get to do is run a Dudes of Disruption men's group and retreats here in New York City. If you're interested in our men's group and our retreats, please email me at coachnick@coachnick.com. Today's show, episode 123, is Everyone is Welcome. We will explore the relationship between diversity and inclusion. Diversity and inclusion, D&I. We will define our perspective on what diversity and define what our perspective is on inclusion and the role that diversity and inclusion plays in your performance, in the results that you produce both at home and at work and also in your community. We have in studio, we have one of our favorite folks, Sam Leibowitz, the conscious consultant who will be joining us on our journey.
Hey, dude.
Dude. So, Sam, we start every show, as you know, with a quote that will help set a context. This quote, I think, is apropos. A lot of different flowers make a bouquet.
Ooh.
A lot of flowers make a bouquet. A lot of different flowers, I should say, make a beautiful, large, robust bouquet.
Said the florist on your wedding day.
Yeah, exactly. And I do think this sentiment, a lot of different flowers make a bouquet, sets us up for this conversation around diversity and inclusion and the relationship between the two of them.
Wait, who's the quote from?
It's actually anonymous.
Oh, anonymous.
It's an anonymous quote.
I know
quote.
That,
yeah.
Dude.
Yeah, thank you for asking. Yeah, exactly. So let me start by defining diversity. It's obviously a focal point for many organizations today. It's a focal point for many leaders out there. It's a focal point even in the decisions and choices that you make related to schools that you send your kids to or programs that you get your kids involved with. It's clearly a big part of who we are and what our culture is all about. So let me start by defining diversity, okay? Diversity is a range of human differences, including but not limited to race, ethnicity, gender, gender identity, sexual orientation, age, social class, physical ability, or physical attributes for that matter, religious, cultural, ethical values, origin, where you come from, right? National origin, your political beliefs as well. Those all play as part of this range of human differences. Now, people often think the term refers to just these, right? Often you think of color and religion and sexual orientation, which obviously that is a part of it. What I also want to offer is the first disruption, which is the diversity. And when you're considering the importance of diverse teams or diverse people or diverse group of people coming together to make decisions or choices or to initiate something or to roll out some new program, and you want a diverse group of people, there are other forms of diversity aside from some of the more common ones that we always think about. Diversity can be, if you work for an organization that's in New York City, for example, if you're a commuter, that would be diversity. If you live in the suburbs, if you are a single dad or a single mom, that could be diverse versus a group of people who you may be working with or doing community work with who are married or single, right? It could be divorced, for that matter, or widowed. It could be your socioeconomic background. So I grew up in Queens, New York, in a middle-class family, son of a union worker and a mom who cut hair. That's part of my diversity. My personality type, you know, the kind of person, am I extroverted? Am I introverted? There's the learning style. One of the courses that I teach and coach people on and, you know, teach teams is on a communication style model called DISC, D-I-S-C, which was developed by William Marston in the 1920s. Anyhow, the four letters, D is for dominant style, I is the influential style, S is the steady style, and the C is the conscientious style. Well, those are all very diverse people. They make decisions very differently. They execute and implement very differently. They recognize or like to be recognized very differently. So diversity has many, many, many factors, many, 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 many legs. And so one of the things, again, I want to offer as a disruption is to start considering diversity in a much different way, aside for the more common ones. Now, part of the importance of considering diversity in any choices that you make or when you're assembling a team of people or you're about to initiate some kind of a program, consider the many dimensions that make up you and, for that matter, others, and how each of these dimensions impact how you view the world, because how you view the world will impact how you interact and relate and make decisions, which, again, impacts your performance. It impacts your results. Your coworkers, as I said, are equally complex, so it's critical to consider the many dimensions of diversity that make them up as well. Again, we covered just a few just moments ago. The different backgrounds, the diverse backgrounds that you and your team members, your colleagues, your staff that report to you, in your community if you're doing community work, your family for that matter, bring to the workplace or to a community project or at home with your friends, the different backgrounds that everybody brings is essential to your organization's success. It's because these different backgrounds, these varied backgrounds, are playing out in our conversations. They're playing out in our emails. They're playing out in our staff meetings. They're playing out when we're having a one-on-one coaching or development session with one of our employees or direct reports. And having a diverse background with varied backgrounds is critical to your organization's success. And we're going to talk more about that in a few minutes as far as giving you some statistics. Now, I just defined diversity. Let me jump into inclusion, because this conversation is about diversity and inclusion. And again, you're listening to the Dudes of Disruption, and you can find all of our podcast episodes on Dudes of Disruption, iTunes, and Podomatic. So let me define inclusion. Inclusion is all about the involvement and getting people involved and identifying and recognizing the inherent worth of all the people that are on your team. And by the way, I keep referencing people at work, but this also applies to home life with friends, your neighbors. It applies to community work that you do, either social community work or to social issues or political issues. So inclusion is all about involving and identifying and recognizing the inherent worth of all people. In an inclusive organization promotes and creates a sense of belonging. Now, I believe, my perspective is that everybody wants and needs to belong to something, that everybody wants and needs to be connected to something and to someone, is why groups like the Dudes of Disruption Men's Group work, because dudes, in this case, it's 15 dudes that meet every other Monday, are committed to being together in a committed way and belonging to something that's helping to make a difference in the world and for themselves. So an inclusive organization values and practices respect for the talents, the experience, the beliefs, the values, the backgrounds, the thinking, and the ways of living of each of its members. It's how people start to have a sense of belonging, because who they are, their uniqueness, is honored, it's celebrated, and it's actually leveraged. It's actually encouraged to come out and participate in whatever decision-making or choices that are going on. The reason why diversity and inclusion are important to put together, because it's not enough to just hire, for example, at a company, to just hire diverse talent, right? I mean, that's a good start, and it's not enough. To fully take advantage of diversity and the benefits that it offers and the impact it can make on your business or at home or in your community, I'm encouraging you to also focus on inclusion and creating an inclusive environment everywhere you go. In fact, what I would say in ways of being, choose to be inclusive, because you can be and you can get to be inclusive in any moment with anyone in any situation.
Yeah, but isn't it kind of counterintuitive? Because when you're hiring somebody, we have a strong tendency to hire the people we like.
Yes.
And we like people like us.
Yes.
So in order to have a more diverse workplace, we have to hire people who are not like us.
Correct.
Which is counterintuitive.
Correct. It is counterintuitive. I'm going to insert an exercise that a gentleman by the name of Scott Horton, and he's a speaker and a thought leader on unconscious bias. And he does. I'm going to give the Reader's Digest of an exercise that he does to your point, Sam. And that was Sam Leibowitz, the conscious consultant, that's joining us. Sam Horton does an exercise where he asks you to list five people. List five people that you trust, okay? And then to the right of it, you don't see it because you've covered the piece of paper. But what happens is you write the five names. Let's say, Sam, you're one of my five people. I then lift the piece of paper, and then what you see are several columns that identify this person. What's their sexual orientation? What's their gender? What's their race? Are they married or single or divorced or widowed? I may be forgetting one or two other columns, but you get my drift. There's about a half a dozen columns in this exercise. And what you start to see is, well, if these five people, are they all married? Are they all single? Are they all divorced? Oh, age is another one. What age are they? What race are they? What's their sexual orientation? And one of the things, when I've done this exercise with groups, one of the things that comes out consistently over and over again is that the five people that you trust the most, your go-to people, your homies, right? The people that you go vent to, the people that, you know, when you have a decision to make, everything from what high school should my kid go to, you know, I'm having trouble with my boss at work. These five trusted people over and over again all look the same. And so to your point, Sam, what's important is that you are aware of that, not as a make wrong, by the way, right? So if my five people, my five most trusted people have, you know, are similar in age, similar in sexual orientation, similar in marital status, similar in race, similar in religion, right? It's not about making me wrong or how I operate. It's about becoming aware of that so that you can disrupt that, so that you can think a little bit differently, or you can bring in a different kind of thinking, right? Because, by the way, what diversity allows you to do is to bring a new set of thinking into a situation, into a decision that you are trying to make. Even if you don't go with that decision, someone with a diverse background that's different than yours, an experience that's different than yours, a perspective that's different from yours, at least will challenge you. And it might even reinforce your conviction, or it might actually have you go in a completely different direction. So to go back to the inclusion, you know, I really believe that an inclusive organization values and practices, again, the respect. Well, I said that before, actually. So an environment that's inclusive acknowledges and supports the differences rather than pressuring people to conform, to be a certain way, to act a certain way, to look a certain way. They're actually honoring the differences, and they're actually leveraging those differences. Generally, not always, but in an inclusive environment, people feel, or you know that you're in an inclusive environment because often you'll have the experience where you're treated with respect. And when you're treated with respect, you have a great deal of safety, psychological safety and emotional safety. Usually you know that you're in an inclusive environment because the unique experiences that you bring from your life, your unique opinions and perspectives and ideas, are valuable to the group and they're encouraged by the group. you generally have an experience where you belong within the team rather than feeling like an outsider, right? You actually feel like you're one of the gang, if you will. It's definitely a place where you feel and have the experience of being self-expressed without holding back, without having second thoughts, without, you know, looking back at somebody else or looking, you know, over your shoulder, because you know that it's safe to be self-expressed. It's safe to be yourself. Now, obviously, you want to be yourself in a responsible, respectful way, in a forwarding way. Let's just assume that's actually happening. But in an inclusive environment, you actually get to be yourself, right? You know, I have a tattoo on my forearm. When I go to my organization and I deliver programs for leaders and I roll up my sleeves, because I get all worked up, as you could tell, I feel really comfortable rolling up my sleeve and having my tattoo on my forearm show. I feel like it's encouraged, in fact. I feel like my interest, my taste, my lifestyle for that matter, is encouraged and that it's safe. Now, let me also share another perspective related to diversity and inclusion by adding the experience of belonging inside of this conversation, because I referenced belonging a couple of minutes ago, because I think that's really, really important. And how I want to share this perspective now on diversity and inclusion and belonging is using a party, a social event, as a metaphor. So if you think of a party as the metaphor, diversity is about you, by the way, not anybody else, because diversity and inclusion and belonging starts and ends with you. Like, you get to be diversity, you get to be inclusion, you get to be and represent what belonging is like. So diversity is about you being very proactive and making certain that everyone, that all kinds of people from all over the place, from all walks of life, are invited to this party, which we're using as the metaphor. Inclusion is about you, again, because it's all about you. Transformational leaders always go first. So inclusion is about you being very proactive, again, in making certain that everyone is asked and invited to get up during the party and dance, or to mingle, or to do whatever feels safe for them or whatever feels right for them. It's on you. That's what inclusion is about you going over to someone, leaning in, being interested, and inviting them to get up and dance, or to get a drink, or to get some food, or to have a conversation, or whatever else, or play a game, whatever type of party it is. So that's diversity and inclusion. Using this metaphor of party again, belonging would then be is about you. Again, I keep emphasizing you, because you get to go first and you get to role model these behaviors. It's about belonging is about you making it very safe for everyone to dance or to play the game and be self-expressed in the way that they choose, and to honor and celebrate their uniqueness. So if we go on the theme of dancing, if somebody wants to dance on one foot, then honor that and celebrate that. You might even want to replicate it just to have them feel like they belong. Or you might, if someone says, I want to dance on my head, let them dance on their head. If they want to break dance, let them break dance. In my case, I might want to Greek dance. And so let me Greek dance or join in and find out, well, how can I learn about it and be interested? Again, this is a conversation about how do you ultimately create an experience where people are known and noticed and feel valued and feel like they matter. Because when people have those experiences of mattering and being noticed and being known and feeling important, they will perform better, I promise you. And I have some statistics I'm going to share in a moment. So it's diversity, it's inclusion, and it's about belonging, having folks having the experience that they belong and are connected to someone or something. And by the way, belonging is about having people have the experience of belonging to something much larger than themselves. And when you have that experience of belonging to something larger than yourself, you are unleashed and inspired in ways never imagined before, which again will ultimately produce a different kind of result. Now, there's some statistics I want to share. There's clearly tons and tons of research on the impact of diverse teams, the impact of having an inclusive environment, the impact of having team members, employees, friends feeling like they have the experience of belonging to something. So there's an organization called Clover Pop that I want to share with you. So according to Clover Pop, I'm going to share some of their research. Clover Pop's research shows a direct link between inclusive decision-making and better business performance. According to Clover Pop, inclusive teams make better business decisions up to 87% of the time. For all of you leaders out there who are making critical decisions, having an inclusive team, a team having the experience of being included, is really important because they make 87% better decisions. Teams that follow an inclusive process make decisions 2 times faster and with half the meetings. They literally cut their time down by half and make decisions 2 times faster when they create an inclusive environment. Decisions made and executed by diverse teams delivered overall 60% better business results for their organizations. Clover Pop did some more research, Sam, that I want to share with you. They studied 588 real business decisions over a period of time made by 184 different teams in a wide variety of companies over a period of 2 years. So here's what they learned. Decision-making drives 95% of business performance, okay? So it has nothing to do with diversity, inclusion, and belonging, okay? It's actually the most, according to Clover Pop, and this makes sense, it's the most important thing, decision-making. It's the most important thing that managers and executives do, right? There's organizations all over the place who have competencies, core competencies in their business, where they judge and assess leaders based on their quality of decision making. So decision making is critical to your success, both your business and to your career. Teams make better decisions than individuals, by the way, 66% of the time, according to Clover Pop. Teams bring a broader perspective, thus diversity, right? Versus one person making a decision. Where, you know, should we make this investment or not? Should I send my child to this high school or not? If I'm making those decisions on my own, I'm only going to have one perspective, one set of background, one set of beliefs. Teams bring a broader perspective. They identify new choices. In fact, they create new choices that previously you didn't know that you didn't know. And they reduce bias, by the way, which is another benefit of having a diverse team. It's a way to actually check yourself, and it helps to improve accountability. According to Clover Pop, diverse teams make better decisions, again, 87% of the time. Inclusion instantly activates existing gender, age, and geographic diversity for better business decision making. Now, one of the things that Clover Pop found, Sam, is that diversity can also increase friction. In fact, it can increase friction by 15%. However, when diverse teams feel included, when there's a high level of inclusion, which again, remember before, inclusion are things like you feel respected, you feel like you can be yourself, you feel like you're valued for your uniqueness and for your unique set of talents and backgrounds, right? So even though friction can increase in a diverse environment, inclusion boosts results by 60%. So that's why, again, the relationship between diversity and inclusion are really, really important. The worst combination, for example, is an all-male team deciding what a diverse group should execute on, right? Because you've got one type of person, in this case, male. It could be a group that's the same age, for that matter, then deciding what a diverse group of people should execute on, right? And this actually, by the way, happens half the time in companies, according to Clover Pop, with fewer than 30% women. The best combination is inclusive decision-making and diverse execution.
So just to that point, I don't know if you heard, but recently California became the first state to require a woman on the board of directors for public companies.
Yes, and I think they have 2 years.
Yeah, they have 2 years
to make that happen. Mm-hmm. So what Sam Leibowitz, the conscious consultant, just shared is in California, there's a new law that a publicly traded company must have at least one woman on their board, which again helps to impact or reduce bias. It helps to bring a different perspective. By the way, not the right perspective. This is not a conversation about right or wrong. It's not that your team has has, you know, is going down the wrong path. What you want to make sure, just like the Scott Horton exercise I mentioned earlier, if you do an exercise and you identify the five people that you trust most, you will likely see that they all look the same, have similar backgrounds, similar status. And there's nothing wrong with that except that you're making decisions based on one way of thinking, on one set of experiences. And so the disruption here is to disrupt this automatic way of being and this automatic way of thinking so that at least you have a different set of experiences, a different set of information to help you make important choices both at work and at home. Now, I want to offer another disruption, Sam, which is related to this inclusion piece. Because often we have inclusion that, you know, if I'm the leader in an organization, I have to make sure that you, Sam, feel included, right? That you feel respected, that you feel included in all the reindeer games, that, you know, I'm soliciting in a proactive way your perspective, your experiences, your values, right? Your opinion, et cetera. And by the way, yes, you should as the leader because you, as I mentioned earlier, get to role model those behaviors. The disruption here is that it goes both ways. That the responsibility is also on you, the individual, or me, the individual, as even as an individual contributor. That inclusion goes both ways. That you must act, and what I mean by that is that you must actively include yourself in this conversation of inclusion by sharing yourself, by sharing parts of you with others, by going out on the skinny branch and being honest and being vulnerable and making requests about what's important to you. So if you have a certain religious belief, it's your responsibility to let your employer know or let your friends know that on a particular day or a particular afternoon, you need to go pray or you need to go and be with your family at services or that you're fasting. Whatever the case may be, that it's on you to let all people also know what's important to you rather than assuming they should know. So for me, you know, so the question really is, how are you sharing yourself at work, with your friends, and in your community? Inclusion is not only are you being included, how are you including others into your world? Are you actually being a stand for diversity? Sharing is a way of, when you share yourself, it's actually a way of taking care of yourself because you're telling others what and who is important to you and how to include you, in fact. You're actually giving them the instructions on how you want them to have you feel included and how to have you feel respected. So the responsibility goes on both sides. The question for the disruptors out there is, how diverse is your team at work, at home, and in your community? How much do the people at home, work, and community in your life feel included? How diverse is your team at work, at home, and in your community? And how much do the people at home, at work, and in your community feel included? You can check out the Dudes of Disruption and Coach Nick on social media throughout the week. You can catch us on Dudes of Disruption Facebook. You can catch us on Twitter, DOD Talk Radio, or Coach Nick NYC. You can also get us on Instagram, Dudes of Disruption. You can catch all of our episodes on Podomatic, Dudes of Disruption on Podomatic and on iTunes. We're going to be doing a parting shot, Sam. Do you have a parting shot?
Just to kind of reflect back what you said before, which is, the more you allow yourself to be different and individual, diverse, the more you give permission to the people around you.
Ooh, I like that. I love that. Yeah, look at you, Sam, dropping a little disruption. my parting shot is, I think it's really important in this conversation of diversity, inclusion, and belonging that you are aware of, much like this Scott Horton exercise I keep mentioning as an example, that you are aware of, being aware of, to Sam's point earlier, what kind of people are you hiring? What kind of people do you include on specific projects? What kind of people do you include in specific meetings? Not as a make wrong, rather as a pattern. And the question then becomes, okay, well, if I do notice a pattern, does this work? Is it producing the results that I want? Is it producing the experience that I want? The other thing that I would offer as a parting shot is to master your stories about people who are different than you. Master your stories. So if you're married, master your story about those who are divorced. If you have a socioeconomic background of some sort, master your story about others who have a different socioeconomic background than yours. I mentioned earlier about learning styles. If your learning style is to be direct, then master your story about people who are less direct, right? Who are uncomfortable with confrontation, or, and vice versa, by the way. The point is, master your stories, because your stories, which are in the background, are running the show, meaning they're running how you relate and how you interact and how you talk and how you act with the people around you in your emails, in your meetings, and in your life. You've been listening to Coach Nick and the Dudes of Disruption. This is the Dudes of Disruption show. You can catch us on our podcast on iTunes and on Podomatic. You can email me at coachnick@coachnick if you're interested in individual coaching, or if you want to learn more about the Dudes of Disruption men's group. Check us out on Facebook, Dudes of Disruption, and on Instagram, Dudes of Disruption. And we end every episode, and we've been doing this for the last 123 episodes, well, including this one now, with a Dr. Seuss quote. Don't cry because it's over. Smile because it happened.